97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the recruitment of high school athletes to play college sports. Our guest, Jimmy Adams, who has coached at the high school level, in junior college, and at the university, including stints at Memphis and Ole Miss. Coach, I want to talk about the whole concept of verbal commitments and what that means. We'll start with an example of DJ Charles, who had committed to FAU down in Boca Raton, Florida. Then Lane Kiffin becomes the new coach. DJ Charles never hears anything from the new coach, eventually finds out that his offer has been rescinded. How common is it that a kid gets recruited and winds up not going there because of a change in coaching or just a change in needs at that program?
Commitment's no longer a commitment, is it? Coaches are trying to recruit the best athletes they can get, of course. And I always started out with a list. I'm a basketball recruiter, and I started a list with about 30 names at each position and worked my way down the list trying to find the best options for our program. And so it's a list-making process. And the same way with a recruit, they make a list themselves of schools they'd be interested in, and it's an elimination process. And once one side makes up their mind on a decision, then they have to woo the other side. And so this happens often, where recruits don't go where they wanted to go and schools don't get the recruits they wanted to get. But as far as verbal commitments go, they're just as good as water. Kids change their mind all the time, and schools now change their mind.
All right, so why don't we jump right into that? Then what's the purpose of having verbal commitments on either side?
I think you try to back off the competition. I think that on the school side, you're trying to get the kid to make up their mind, get the verbal commitment in the newspaper, in the news, and let the other schools know that you've pretty much got this kid locked up and they need to move on to some other option. Of course, that doesn't happen very often. Most schools try to break that commitment if it's somebody they really want. And I think it's just a hope on the part of the school that they can lock a kid up verbally and other people will back off. And same way with the kid, once he commits, then he can get the other schools off his back that are recruiting him, and he can go on about the business of having a great senior season.
Okay, so let's look at it from the young man's perspective. Whether it's DJ Charles or some other athlete, but let's use him as an example. He was a two-star recruit, and he's going to get recruited by schools that go after two stars, not by Alabama or Clemson or Oregon or Florida or any of these big schools. But let's say something happens, and he grows by 3 inches and gains 20 pounds, and it's like, suddenly, he's no longer a two-star. He's somebody Alabama might look at. Why not let him change from a verbal commitment, which, as you said, doesn't mean anything anyway?
Well, and another factor to throw in there, too, Charlie, are academic situations. You know, the kid's academic situation may change, too. And so there's a lot of factors still in the mix. Some kids are committing now after their sophomore season. And I think that's ridiculous, because a kid couldn't possibly know what his future is after his sophomore season of any sport. I think that the options change. He's got two more years to play and improve and, like you said, grow and get better and make the commitment after his sophomore year. He's going to go to What's the Matter You, and then all of a sudden he becomes a much better prospect. And What's Matter You is trying to hang on for dear life, and the bigger schools start coming in, and the kid changes his mind. He says, I've got better options now.
So let's look at it from the university perspective. The opposite can happen. The kid could, you know, the summer before his senior season, he could go on an eating binge, and he now weighs 350, and he doesn't have, you know, doesn't have the body mass or the height and what have you to support that kind of weight. He's just, he's no longer the player that he was. Why should the school be kind of locked into this kid?
Well, and that's true. And even on top of that, let's say the kid is having a great sophomore year and he looks like he has a lot of potential. And then, as you said, something happens, he overeats or whatever, and he has a poor junior year. And then all of a sudden, another prospect surfaces that you feel like is a better fit for your program. And now, where do you go? Do you stay with your original commitment, which you think may not end up panning out the way you thought it would? You made a mistake on his evaluation. Or do you go with this new recruit who now shows interest in your program and dump first recruit? And that's, you get into an ethical situation there that you're going to create some enemies if you go the wrong way.
All right. So I think the ethical side of it is very important, and it is something that I want to talk about. But let's first talk just a bit more about this particular situation. So Lane Kiffin, and everybody knows who Lane Kiffin is, and that he's had issues, shall we say, down through the years. Right. So it'd be fairly easy to lay it at the feet of Lane Kiffin. Oh, well, this happened to this kid. Well, it's Lane Kiffin. But it's far broader than Lane Kiffin.
I think it happens over and over again, not only in Lane Kiffin's situation, although he's controversial in some ways, but I think that it happens over and over in other schools and other situations where coaches change and they want to bring in their staff from their previous job or hire people that are there, they feel loyal to or close to, and then they want to bring in the players that they feel like they can coach and they can improve the situation at the school they've been hired so that they can get a raise and move on to a better job. And so they're after the best recruits they can get, and maybe they've been in on some kids in other areas that they feel like are better than the ones that the previous staff was recruiting at the school where they are now, where they've just gotten a job like Lane. And so they feel like maybe we can upgrade our recruiting if we just, decommit from some of these previous commitments and go after better kids.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Coach Jimmy Adams about the whole recruitment game and how kids get recruited and then change their minds or schools change their minds. So, Jimmy, you mentioned the ethical side of this thing. Number one, I don't understand why you call it a verbal commitment when it really is not a commitment in any way, shape, or form, because both sides can back out at will. So I think the word commitment doesn't really fit. But should you just say, hey, young man or young woman, if depending on the sport, if you continue to progress as you've been progressing and your grades stay, you put in all these caveats, would that help?
Well, you're assuming that you're the number one choice on the kid's list and that he's going to want to come to your school with those conditions, that if, and then he's got the other school, school B, who's saying you're the best thing since sliced bread, and they're not giving you any kind of a commitment, and they're not showing you that they're going to give you a scholarship at the end of all this. And so you need to come with us. We definitely want you. You fit in our program, and we have a scholarship for you. And so if you'll tell everybody that you're coming to our school, we'll stop recruiting player C, and we'll commit to you, and then we'll move on and recruit another position for our program.
Okay, sure. If you can tell the kid this, and maybe you do stop recruiting player C, but then player J, who is a 4-star, and your kid is a 2-star, suddenly calls up and says, hey, you know, I'm having second thoughts. I don't want to go to XYZ University. I want to come play for you. And the only option you have is to tell the 2-star thanks, but no thanks. Which coach isn't going to do that?
Of course. And that's what you hope happens. You know, you hope that the number one recruit on your list who 40 schools are recruiting, all of a sudden figures that you're the best choice and calls and says, I'm going to come, and you've got the prize you want. But that happens so rarely that you've got to have a list of people that are ready to come in case. And I think that once the top player says he commits, then you have to disentangle from all that recruiting you've done with player B, C, D, and E, and the parents and the coaches and the schools. And it gets to be a messy situation. I know you're familiar with the situation in Louisiana where the high school football coach claimed Alabama had been unethical and had pulled a scholarship from one of his players that they had offered to. And he made the statement that he was no longer going to have Alabama recruit his players. And the board and the principal got together and fired the coach because they said, we have other athletes that we want Alabama to come in here and recruit. We're not going to make them mad by saying, you know, that they're not going to be able to come in and recruit our athletes. Now, that got to be a real sticky situation.
Yeah, so for me, it just keeps going back to, you mentioned you have to have this list of players just in case, right? But you never tell them that they're just in case. You know, tell them, oh, gosh, you know, you're key to our program, and, boy, we're going to win a national championship with you.
Absolutely. You sit in their room, their living room with their parents and their high school coach, and you lay out the future for them and your program, and you tell them, you know, what can be accomplished by both sides, what they can accomplish and what you can accomplish for them. And, you know, you're a salesman. You're trying to sell your product to this family and this recruit and this high school coach. And if you do a good job, they want to come. And walk out of the house, you have someone that's ready to come, and then you repeat that four or five times at the same position to have a list, to have options, and then you know which one you really want, and then the other two or three are people that you will take if you can't get the number one.
Okay, so I think everyone understands that. I think even the kids understand that. If I'm a two-star, you know, I'm not guaranteed anything, because what happens if that four-star suddenly becomes available? But the whole idea of one of the coaches quoted, an anonymous coach quoted for this article in Bleacher Report, basically had a list of 400 kids. They're, right. You know, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But, you know, like I said, in my case, I started out at the beginning of the recruiting season with a big list, and you work your way through it, and it narrows down as you find out circumstances. You start close to home. You start with the best recruits close to home, and you try to find reasons that those recruits would be interested in coming to your school, playing for your head coach. And as you eliminate, or you get to the point where you figure, I don't have a chance at signing this kid. He's pretty well locked in to go to What's the Matter U, and so I've got to move on to what I think I can actually sign, because we need a player. And I want to get the best one we can. And if I can't get player A, I'm going to be happy with player B.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Coach Jimmy Adams about recruiting high school athletes and making promises and whether you are able to keep those promises as time goes on. So, Coach, again, we mentioned the ethical part of this. If you get to the point that you say, we want you, you're going to be central to what we're trying to do, at what point do you say, I have to honor that? Maybe he's not the best choice today, but 2 weeks ago, I told him that he is.
I think you have to honor that commitment. I think at some point you're going to be labeled unethical, and you're not going to get the kind of support that you're looking for from your next recruiting efforts at that school or that area. And so I think at some point you've got to stand up and say, we made this choice. We made this commitment. This is someone that we are going to stand behind. And we're telling everybody else at that position that we're recruiting that we have made our commitment, and we're no longer going to recruit them, and they can choose other choices. And I think at some point, every staff has to make that choice, make that commitment, and stand behind it.
All right. So a couple of points that the writer of this article for Bleacher Report makes is recruiting is pretty brutal. I mean, most of us don't see it, but some of these kids certainly see it. And even the coaches, you know, you hear about the coach who's like hovering over the fax machine, just waiting for that letter, because the verbal commitment really doesn't mean anything. And then the other point is that the kid who we started talking about, DJ, who actually wound up, you know, coming to a Campbell University here in North Carolina. But his situation is not unique. This happens all the time.
It does. And recruiting is a brutal business. And as I said, it's a salesman's job. And recruiters are always looking for the best option they can under the rules. You know, some recruiters break the rules, as obviously has happened in many cases. But most recruiters I was around tried to find a way they could use the rules to their advantage and not break the rule. And so there's so many creative people in this business that are trying to get the recruit they're after. And you have to be sharp and own the job, and you have to do it diligently many hours a day in order to make it happen. And it's a tough job. It's a real tough job.
And I want to put it into context just a little bit. We're talking about 2 stars, 3 stars, you know, basically how highly rated are these kids by these rating services, and scout.com is one of them. So in 2017, there were 5,700 kids. We're talking about high school football, 5,700 high school football players who had a profile on scout.com. Of those 5,700, only about 400 were 4-star or 5-star. That's 7%. So if you're not in the top 7%, do you have to pretty much say, this is a crapshoot as to whether I really wind up going to this school or not?
I think we have all put way too much importance on recruiting services. It is an eye on the product, but I didn't trust a recruiting service that didn't actually see the prospects that they were rating. And there are a few that are nationwide that do a great job of putting an eye on the prospect and can give it a fair rating. But I didn't really trust the difference between a 2-star and a 4-star unless I saw the kid, or unless the person that was rating them was somebody I trusted and felt like they had put the eye on the kid and saw what he could do. And so I think ratings are overrated. And I think actually you have to trust some people, so you find the ones you can trust, and then you go with, if they say the kid is a 2-star recruit, then there are levels of 2-star recruits. You know, there's a really good 2-star recruit, and then there's a guy that just barely made the 2-star rating. And so it's such a finite description on a prospect. You can't measure the inside of a kid, and sometimes that's what makes the difference on the field. And so I just felt like recruiting services were a tool, but not the only tool that I used.
Well, sure. But nobody can look at 5,700 different high school football players. So you have to depend on something. And if this is the system, and the system basically says, if you're not a 4-star or a 5-star, you might be expendable. Is there any way to change that system?
Not that I'm privy to at the moment. You know, I think that the country is so full of really good high school athletes. And how do you measure this 6'8 kid against this 6'8 kid? Both are athletic. Both can shoot the basketball. Which one's best for your program? Would you take either one? Is there a problem with player A that would keep you from thinking he would fit in with your program, so you go to player B? And both are 2-star recruits, we'll say. And so I'm not sure there's another system that we can put in place that will measure kids' abilities any better than what we have right now.
And that's unfortunate, because as the writer of this particular article points out, for kids like DJ Charles, 2-star recruits, it's a constant struggle up until the moment you sign that letter of intent, both for the kid and for the school. And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Jimmy Adams. Thanks also to producer Caleb Waters. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.